morning. I want to welcome you to our worship service here at the Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren this morning. It's a cool but beautiful sunny day out. This is the third Sunday of the Lenten season. And so for all of you, we're so glad that you're here this morning. Those that are here in the sanctuary, we are welcoming those in the Sunday school room and also welcoming those that are out in the cars and the drive-in experience. We want to say welcome to all of you. We're continuing in our sermon series of messages, How to Face the Future. Today, we're going to hear a message, part 7 from the book of James, called How to Have Real Faith. That's an important topic and something that we need to pay attention to. You know, today, our culture is literally overrun by fake products. Almost anything real can now be faked and purchased at a much cheaper price. For example, today you can improve your body with fake nails and fake hair, fake teeth, fake body parts, which will remain unmentioned, and fake tanning, and all kinds of things that are fake. And then you can go out and you could eat a taco with fake meat and fake cheese, and you could put fake sugar into your coffee, and you can wear fake designer clothes made out of fake leather and fake fur while you talk about fake news to your fake friends on social media with your fake identity. And what I'm trying to say is that there is so much out there in our world that is not real. We have been overwhelmed with fake news during a period of great upheaval in politics and during a critical crisis with a pandemic, and both have literally been killing us. Now, there are some areas in life where fake works just fine. Just as well, it's just as well as the real thing. But there is one area. There is one area where you have to have the real thing. And it is this. You have to have real faith. Not fake faith, or it doesn't work. Fake faith has no power to change your life. It has no power to save you. It has no power to answer your prayers and lead you where God would want you to go. Fake faith doesn't work. And there's a lot of people struggling because they don't understand that what they have is not real. They wonder where God is. They wonder why things are happening the way they do. They wonder why God seems so distant and so far away and why life seems so dreary. So in the book of James, in the second chapter that we've been studying, we have here today help for you to know the difference between real faith and fake faith. And I want to talk to you today about what James has to say about how to have a real faith. And there are a lot of phony pretenders, people who say they are Christians, and really they aren't. And in this passage, James talks about the difference between real and counterfeit Christians, authentic believers, and between fake believers. He talks about how you have a real faith. And the Apostle Paul teaches that we are saved by faith alone, by grace through faith, we are saved. Now that's what Paul says, but James comes along and he says it's not just faith, but it's faith and works. Now, what are those two people talking about? James and Paul. Who's right? They sound contradictory. Well, they're both right. And the reason I can say, how can that be that they both can be right when they sound contradictory, is that they're talking about different things. You see, Paul was fighting the problem of legalism and the problem of, I've got to keep all the Jewish laws and regulations in order to be a Christian. That's what Paul was trying to deal with. And Paul is talking about his words to that group. No, it's not legalism, it's faith only. But James is not fighting legalism. He's fighting a laxity that people in their thinking and their living. Those that say it doesn't matter what you do as long as you believe you can do anything. And James is saying, no, that's not true either. You see, these two, Paul and James, are fighting two different enemies. Paul focuses on the root of salvation, what happens to me internally when I have Jesus Christ in my heart and life. And James is focusing on the fruit of salvation, what happens on the outside. What happens when I have authentic faith? And so Jesus said, even he was talking about that, he said, by their fruits you will know them. Paul is talking about how to know you're a Christian, and James is talking about how to show you are a Christian. Paul is talking about how to become a believer, and James is talking about how to behave like a believer. And it's summed up in Ephesians 2, 8 and 10. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. But you're saved for a life of good works that God has already prepared for us to do. We're saved just by accepting God's gift. But how do I show I am a believer? James says there's five ways you can know that you've got the real thing. And he gives us these five steps or five principles here in this passage that we just read. And the first one is this. Real faith is not just something you say. In verse 14 it says, real faith is not just something you talk about. What good is it, my brother, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? It doesn't say he actually has faith. He just claims to have it. And that's what we find in a lot of people. A lot of people talk about they know God. Meaning they know about him, but do they know him personally? In other words, a person who has the right words, he knows all the right phrases. There are a lot of people who claim to be Christians, but you don't see anything in their lifestyle that would exemplify or demonstrate that that is true. Today we tend to label people as Christians if they simply say they believe. And that is not true. That is dangerous. It's more than just talk that is involved in real faith. Jesus said, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So just to say the words doesn't mean that you've accepted the word. Not everybody with a Christian bumper sticker is a believer. You ever seen those bumper stickers and those symbols of faith? I really got in trouble one time. There was a bumper sticker that says, if you're a Christian, honk. And I did, but I got an awful ugly gesture from the person in front of me. So, talk is cheap. Anybody who claims to be a Christian, you'll see evidence of that in their life. That's what James is saying. If they have faith, if they are a Christian, if they are a believer, you will see evidence of that in their life. Real faith is not just something you say. And here's the second principle. Real faith is not just something you feel. It's more than emotions. A lot of people confuse emotions and sentiment with faith. In other words, you can be emotionally moved and never act on it. You can go to church and you can get a quiver in your liver and you can get goosebumps and you can have these feelings, but it never makes any difference the way you live and treat other people and the way you honor God. James gives an illustration. He says in verse 15, he says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, and if one of you says to him, go, I wish you well fed, but does nothing about the physical needs, what good is that? What good is it if you see someone in need and you say, oh, that's too bad. I feel sorry for you. I feel for you. James is saying, he's saying real faith is more than just being sympathetic and feeling bad for someone. You do something about it. You act on it. A real believer will care about what is happening in other people's lives, and especially the lives of believers. Real faith is generous. Real faith is loving. Real faith is that I want to give. When God's love is in you, it will create within you to imitate God and to reach out and to give to others. In 1 John 3:14, it says that one of the proofs of salvation is that we love other Christians. We are a lot better at verbalizing our faith, talking about it, saying what we believe, than we are practicing it, sharing it, giving it. James is saying that if my faith doesn't lead me to share with others, then something's wrong. In verse 17, it says, in this same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, it is dead. If I don't feel like helping other Christians, I don't have a sick faith. I have a dead faith, James said. And James puts it on a line. And it's hard for us to hear. We don't want to hear it that way, but that's the word of God. James is saying, do you want real faith? It's more than just saying something about it. And it's more than just something you feel. Here's the third thing. Real faith is not just something you think. For some people, faith is an intellectual trip, a matter to be studied, to be debated, to be talked over, and to be discussed. And James says faith is not something you do that way, that you simply debate over it. You've got your thing, we think, and I've got my thing. I remember when I was in seminary, I would come home and my family often, as we would get together, that's one of the things we did around the table, is that I would talk about what I had learned and what I had discovered and how I understood faith from an intellectual point of view. And I would hear their version of that too. But that's not faith. That's not faith at all. You can stimulate one another mentally, but still not make a commitment to it. You could have all the knowledge and understanding of who Jesus was, of the Trinity, of eschatology, of all the things that we find in religion that we talk about, and its meaning, and still, with all of that, it would have nothing to do to make you be committed to God. Real faith is visible. You can see it. Jesus said that. If you can claim to be a Christian, people will be able to see it in your life, in your lifestyle. Somebody said, faith is like calories. You can't see those, but you can see if you're taking of those calories in your body. And I think that's true. You can't see faith, but if you have it, you will see the results of it. If I think my health is very important, but I don't eat right, and I don't exercise, and I don't get proper rest, it doesn't really matter what I think about good health. What really counts is my actions, to what I do with it. Real faith is more than just something you think. You can say things about what you should do if you love God and love others and how you serve, but if you don't do anything about it, then it really doesn't matter what you think. What counts is what you do. Real faith is more than something you think. You can prove it. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, anytime a person becomes a Christian, he becomes a new person inside. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. And you will see that in a person. It's like if you've ever worked on an electrical appliance or worked with electricity, if you've ever grabbed onto a live wire, you're going to know it. And I don't see how somebody as powerful as God can enter your life and it not be something visible that you see, that you've grabbed onto, that it will change you. James says flat out that if it doesn't change you, there's a question whether God is really in your life. What can I see in my life that proves it? How do you know you're a believer? Well, you'll see some changes in your life. Real faith always produces change. Real faith is not just something you say. Real faith is not just something you feel. Real faith is not just something you think. And the fourth thing, real faith is not something you believe. In other words, you believe that there is a God, the scripture we read this morning. And James says, well, good. But even the demons believe that. And when they think about that, they shudder. There are a lot of people who have strong beliefs in God, the Bible, and about Christ, and they can quote biblical verses. And James says, well, that's a big deal. Just because you say you believe, or even just because you believe there is a God, that's no big thing. Just saying I believe in God is not enough to get me to heaven. It's not enough to get me into the relationship I need with God. Even the devil believes that. The devil believes in God. The devil knows a lot more about the Bible than probably you or I do. But even because he knows it, doesn't give him a relationship with God. It actually causes him to tremble. The word believe in Greek means to trust in, to cling to rely on, to commit oneself completely. That is what believe means. To believe is more than just head knowledge. A lot of folks are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. It's not what they believe in their head. It's when they move that from their head to their heart, and they put Jesus Christ into their life. They've got it in their head, but not their heart. And they say, I believe in God. And James says, big deal. Everybody believes in God. How do you have a creation? How can you look around in the world and not know there is a creator? Sure, you can believe in God. You can believe that God created the world. You can believe that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to the world. You can believe and still not have a commitment to or a relationship with that which you believe. Real faith is not just saying, I believe. It is easy to believe. You can believe without practicing faith. If I asked you if you were a believer, it's possible, and I would expect you to say yes. And if I asked you, are you a Christian, I would expect you to say yes. But if I got down to more details, I'm not sure how you would answer. If I asked, do you attend a church, I could see everyone here today that your answer would be yes. Do you serve God? Do you tithe? Do you have the things that God says you're using your gifts for to serve Him? James would say that if you just believe, but there's no action, then that's a phony belief. You're just conning yourself, and a lot of people are doing that, we hear. So it's not just something you say, it's not just something you feel, it's not just something you think, it's not just something you believe. So what is real faith? Here's number five, the last point of this message. Real faith is something you do. In the next couple of verses, James gives two illustrations that say, if you have real faith, it is something that you are doing with it. And faith is active. It's not passive. It's a commitment. It's something that shows up in your life. And the two different illustrations are about two different people. They are about Abraham and Rahab. And these are exact opposite extremes of each other. Abraham is a man. Rahab is a woman. Abraham is Jewish. Rahab is a Gentile. Abraham is a patriarch. Rahab is a prostitute. Abraham is somebody. Rahab is nobody. Abraham is a major character in the Bible. Rahab is a minor character. And so James uses two illustrations to say it doesn't matter whether you're a patriarch and whether you are on the pinnacle of being called close to God, a friend of God, a family member of God, or whether you're down in the lowest part. It doesn't matter, because that's not what puts you in faith with God. That's not what brings you into a relationship with God. Rahab and Abraham, they had one thing in common, no matter where their extremes were: their faith in God. Their faith in God led them to do something about what they said they believed. In verse 20, it says, "You foolish men, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar?" His faith and his action of putting his son on the altar were working together. His faith was made complete because of what he did. Scripture was fulfilled when it said Abraham believed God. And it wasn't just a head belief, but he did something about what he said he believed. He put his son, even with the possibilities that his son would lose his life. Abraham's faith was but God was going to fulfill his promise no matter what happened. I need to obey God, and I need to follow that action, and God will take care of the rest. How do we know that Abraham had faith? Because we saw it. We saw what he did. He behaved in a way that his belief became out visibly. Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see, that's the ultimate test where God asked Abraham to give up his own son. It was just to show how much he believed. Abraham obeyed God. He did all those faith steps. He cut the wood. He built the altar. He was there before God and ready to sacrifice before God. And the only sacrifice he knew was God had told him to take his son and sacrifice his son. And so he followed that. He knew that God would provide somehow, even if it meant raising his son from the dead. His work proved his faith. He held nothing back from God. And James talks about Rahab. The story in Joshua 2 is a story about how a prostitute helped a couple of spies that were coming into the city of Jericho, and they were staking out the city of Jericho, and she had heard what was going to happen, and so she believed that she too would be protected if she helped them. Rahab ends up, with her help, ending up in the family line of Jesus. She is a descendant. Jesus is a descendant of Rahab. She risked her life to save the spies. She obeyed the word of God. She didn't just believe, but she put that belief into action. Our faith is not only determined by what we do, it is demonstrated by what we do. Now, I want to make sure I said that correctly. Our faith is not determined by what we do. It is demonstrated by what we do. That's because talk is cheap. Actions speak louder than words. Often from the Bible, it says that. Our behavior shows what we really believe. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. So, let's check ourselves out. Let's see if we really are a believer or not. And I want to ask a couple of questions to help us determine that. In the light of what James is teaching here, he gives us some insight into what kinds of questions we need to ask to determine if we really are a Christian, if we really are a believer, if we have real faith. And here's the first question. Is my lifestyle any different at all from unbelievers? Do I live just like people who don't believe in Jesus or God? You know, there are so many people who think it doesn't matter what you do as long as you believe. But that's what James was addressing, because it does matter. James says that's not true. It does matter what you do as well as what you believe. He says what you do demonstrates your faith. And here's the second question. Do you know for sure that you have the kind of relationship with Christ that God is wanting you to have? Maybe some of you have had doubts whether you're really a believer or not. You're a good person. You go to church. Maybe you've known about Christ for a long time. Maybe you even read the Bible. But the question still somehow haunts us sometimes. Are you absolutely sure that if you died tonight, that you would go to heaven? And the fact is that you can be sure, and that's what James is trying to teach here. You can settle that right now. And how do you do that? How do you make for sure? In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved." It's what God does, not what you do. But it's through your faith that you accept that. You accept what God has given you by His grace. And then you do it for a life of good works. In other words, you live your life in a way that demonstrates that God's grace and your faith has been put together. Because God's prepared something for you to do with that. God's grace. God reaches down and He says, "I want to have a relationship with you. I sent my Son to die for you, to forgive you, and to make this possible." That's grace. But then you have to look up and you have to say, "Lord, I want that. I want to know You, Lord. I want to have that relationship that you are offering me through your son, Jesus. That's faith. When God's hand of grace comes down and your hand of faith goes up, you surrender. And that's called salvation. That's what it means to be a believer, is to surrender. Saved by grace through faith to do exactly what God made you for and what He wants to do in your life and what He wants you to be. God has a plan for your life, starting before you was ever woven together in your mother's womb. God has a plan. Now here this morning, Jesus is calling. What is your answer? What is my answer? Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, some of us have been struggling with doubts about whether we have really been a believer or not. Maybe we don't really remember a time when we specifically asked the Lord to take over my life. We believed about Christ, but maybe we've never really believed in Him. So today we want to settle it, Lord. And I'm praying that I want to have a real faith, not a fake faith. What does it mean to believe? It means to surrender my all to Jesus and to commit myself to Him. Lord Jesus, I give every area of my life to You as best as I can, as the best as I know how. I want to learn more about You, God. I want to know about the God of the valley as well as the God of the mountain. Oh God, I just thank You that as I come to hear Your word this morning, I just want to be a real believer. I want to give You my all. Take my life and make me the person You want me to be. And help me to grow. Help me to know that I'm a Christian by You helping me to show it in my life by obeying Your word and doing what You call me to do. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for dying for me on the cross. And Lord, I want to commit my all to You, and I do it now. And Lord, thank You. Thank You for understanding that real faith is not something we say or feel or believe, but it is something we do. And we surrender and commit ourselves now to You, Lord. We give it all. Thank You, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.